It's 12:08 on this Woo Wednesday. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live from KABC Studios in Culver City. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk across the glass.
John, we have breaking variant news. The first U.S. case of the Omicron. No, wait.
It's called the Omicron.
No, wait.
For the identification of Omicron.
That has been detected in California in San Francisco. Somebody that flew back from South Africa 9 days ago has mild symptoms. But according to Fauci, we can't tell anything yet if that means this isn't a big deal.
You know, initially they didn't tell us where in California the case was, but then when I heard there was a flight from Africa to California, I thought to myself, I bet you it's not Ontario.
So this person landed at SFO November 22nd, which means, and this is pure speculation, but it's very possible that this person could have gone to the same party London Breed was at Thanksgiving, dancing without a mask.
Seeing Tony.
Wasn't even Tony. It was an R&B group so obscure that I don't even remember the name of it.
Now, you want to see what kind of optimist I am? Are you ready for that?
I am ready. I'm surprised, but I'm not ready. I'm ready for it.
Okay. If you want a positive spin on the Omicron coming to California.
It's called the Omicron.
Here it is. We just had the census. And we found out that people can't get out of California fast enough. They're packing up their Prius with all the kale they can stuff in their trunk, all the yoga mats they can tie to the roof, and they're headed to other states, freer states, states that won't close them down or shut down the schools. We're hemorrhaging population. But while we're hemorrhaging population, at least the Omicron wants to come here.
That's your takeaway.
Yeah.
Well, they say so does California, so does the nation. We got the Omicron first, and soon it'll be all across the country.
Someone wants to come here, and that makes me happy. It was flip-flop Fauci who was the one that made the announcement. Let's listen to Fauci talk about our little hidden hamlet here in California.
Thank you very much, Jen. So... As some of you may have heard, the California and San Francisco Departments of Public Health.
Wait a minute. When did we get an R at the end of our state's name? We're California, not California.
Something tells me Fauci's one of those guys that says Washington.
Just adding R's where they don't belong.
As some of you may have heard, the California and San Francisco Departments of Public Health and the CDC have confirmed that a recent case of COVID-19 among an individual in California was caused...
Okay, now there he said it correctly. At first it was California, and then it's California.
Well, now in the age of the Omicron...
It's called the Omicron.
Pronunciation is variable.
What does he call Nevada?
Nevada.
Among an individual in California was caused by the Omicron variant. Genomic sequencing...
Wait, that's how you say it? I thought Ferrer said it's...
For the identification... Of Omicron.
Omicron.
Genomic sequencing was conducted at the University of California at San Francisco, and the sequence was confirmed at the CDC as being consistent with the Omicron variant. So I know there are a lot of questions, but here's what we know right now. The individual was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November the 22nd and tested positive on November the 29th.
So that travel ban did absolutely nothing.
No kidding. I wonder how many animals they infected on the safari.
The individual is self-quarantining, and all close contacts have been contacted, and all close contacts thus far have tested negative. The individual was fully vaccinated and experienced mild symptoms, which are improving at this point.
Okay. Here is the problem. They tell us two different things about whether or not the vaccines and the boosters protect us from the Omicron. Initially, they said, absolutely not. And the CEO of Moderna said, we're worried about this one. We don't think the vaccines or the boosters provide protection. And then in the same breath, they said, if you want to protect yourself against the new variant, you got to go out and get vaccinated and take your booster. And now, as it turns out, the one case that we know of in the state of California, and believe me, there's more, if they flew in from Africa, guess what? There's no room on those planes for your legs. You're on top of one another. Everyone in coach has it. That much I can promise you. Have you seen what those lines look like at the Starbucks at the airport? I'll take a latte and some Omicron.
I would imagine everyone that went to SFO 2 days before Thanksgiving might want to go get a test.
That's right. And this guy was vaccinated. Actually, do we know it's a man or could it be a woman?
I think they're just saying person at this point. This is California, so gender is fluid.
We don't know how they identify yet.
It could be a they. We might just go with that. But we know that they were fully vaccinated. They haven't had their booster, and they have mild symptoms.
The only thing we know at this point is that they identify as positive.
So this is the first confirmed case of COVID-19 caused by the Omicron variant detected in the United States. And as all of you know, because we've been discussing this, we knew that it was just a matter of time before the first case of Omicron would be detected in the United States.
And of course, it had to be us. We're like the adult child that just can't get with the program.
We're the trendsetters here in California.
Oh, we're the ones that still live in the parents' basement. We're the embarrassment on the family. People are obligated to invite us over on holidays and celebrations and dinners. No one wants us around, but they have to put up with us because we're part of the family. That's how they look at us in Idaho.
And as you know, we know, I've been saying it, and my colleagues on the medical team and others have been saying it, we know what we need to do to protect people. Get vaccinated if you're not already vaccinated. Get boosted if you've been vaccinated for more than 6 months with an mRNA or 2 months with J&J.
We're still using that J&J, huh?
Took the booster a couple days ago.
All the other things we've been talking about getting your children vaccinated, masking in indoor congregate settings, et cetera.
So there you go.
That was Fauci about 25 minutes ago, and then took questions. And the vast majority of questions from almost everybody in the White House press corps outside of Peter Ducey, who wanted to ask about the border, was, so when are you going to make it so domestic travelers have to be vaccinated?
And what was the answer?
Oh, we're not there yet because they don't want the airline stocks to crash.
Well, that already happened.
International travel, they're doing it. But domestic travel, that's what every reporter, CNN, NBC, CBS, like, when are you going to do that? When do you have a testing requirement to get on Southwest? You got to make sure you're vaccinated before you get on that puddle jumper.
Did you see the report in the Washington Post that dropped last night?
What's that one?
Apparently, the Biden administration is considering, if you travel international, they want you to provide a negative COVID test within a day.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Day of returning back to the United States. Right now it's 2 days, so they want to cut a day out of it. Now, I don't even know how you do that. It takes CVS 2 days to get you the results. So whatever the CVS is in Mexico, they're going to have to do it pronto because they're going to need those results after a day if they get their way.
Well, now they have those take-home tests. Maybe they just pass those out on the plane with your peanuts.
I'll tell you, if there's a company that I would be thinking about buying stock in, it's those companies that make the take-home test, because we're all going to need about 9 million of them. And if there's a way to make it so you can find out if you are COVID positive and pregnant all in one test, that's really going to be striking gold.
Don't use that same swab in both places, please.
Think about the triple threat. One test, you find out if you have COVID, if you're pregnant, and if you have AIDS.
Be one hell of a test.
Think about all of the shelf space that you'd free up at the CVS. So in addition to requiring that you provide a negative test within one day of returning to the United States, they're also kicking around the idea that you have to quarantine for 7 days, even if you've tested negative. You have to sit in your house and do nothing.
I guess I'm putting that trip to Spain off for another 2 years.
Well, that's effectively what they're going to do. They're going to shut it all down. And that's what Canada was doing for a while. They may just sit in a hotel for 2 weeks.
Japan has banned all incoming international travel. If it's already booked, you can come. But after that, for the rest of the year, no one's going to Tokyo Disney.
Israel has pretty much done the same thing. You have countries in Europe that are effectively shut down, Austria and Belgium. So if you want a waffle, it's going to have to be Eggo.
Now, I got to know, in the wake of all this news, how many times a minute are you checking Royal Caribbean's Twitter?
Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you. If they do this to me again, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be for. It's not going to be good for me. But I promise you this, it's going to be worse for them. Because I'll have nothing but time on my hands. And I am a vindictive, vindictive, vindictive person. You hear that, CDC? Vindictive. You shut down those cruises. Let me tell you where I'm going to stick that sail. So you better not. But at this point, I'm fearing the worst. Especially since California got the first case. You know, the LA County Board of Supervisors and Warden Newsom and the rest of those losers that are calling the shots here in this state, they're looking at that like the big bad wolf, where they've got their fangs hanging out and drool dripping down off of them. And they're just thinking about all the different ways they can shut us down and close the schools and ruin our economy yet again, because that's the only thing they know how to do. They know how to beat recalls, and they know how to ruin our lives. Those are their hobbies. If Newsom had a profile on one of those dating apps, and it asked you to list your hobbies, that's what he would put. Beating recalls and ruining lives.
Oh, we got breaking news. It's not a they, it's not a he. The person who got the Omicron from South Africa and flew to SFO is a she. But then they accidentally realized that they revealed that, and they switched back to a they.
Wait, which was the publication that did that?
That was Newsom, who's talking right now. He accidentally revealed the gender. There was a gender reveal party at Newsom's press conference, and a bomb didn't go off.
Well, it's always nice to see a gender reveal party that doesn't involve Tannenite. No fires were started. No foundations were cracked.
Although there will be hell to pay, and Newsom will get canceled if she actually does identify as a they.
Oh, can you imagine? Could you imagine if he just offended the transgendered community? Couldn't happen to a better guy. You know what? I hate cancel culture across the board, but for him, that's what I call karma. So I'm betting on that horse. Tragically, there was another school shooting today, this time in the state of Michigan. And Randy, how many victims were killed in the shooting? Was it three or four?
So this was yesterday. It happened while we were on the air. And it was three victims yesterday, but a fourth who was in the hospital died today. So we're at four victims of this horrific school shooting up in Michigan in Oakland County.
Absolutely. Here's my advice. Just to play it safe, stay away from anything named Oakland right now. It seems like there's a connection. Oakland County, Michigan, they have this horrible shooting at a school for no reason. Oakland, California, people getting shot right and left.
Record-breaking murder rates.
Just stay away.
You know who's staying away from Oakland? Is all the shipping companies, even through the supply chain bottlenecks in L.A. and Long Beach. Oakland was down 20% last month.
Is there piracy in Oakland, too?
I think the port longshoremen and the sailors want to make sure that they don't get robbed and murdered. And you're still likely to have that happen to you in L.A., but it's more likely in Oakland.
Speaking of the City of Angels, the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, has been nominated by Sloppy Joe to be America's next ambassador to India.
I receive things on both ends.
Yeah, well, so has everyone that's worked for you, according to a new report.
And a report, by the way, not from the LA Times, not from the Southern California News Group, not from any of our local papers, New York Magazine, with a big piece out today called "The Mayor Knew Garcetti Did Know About All the Harassy Behavior from One Rick Jacobs."
And that's the rumor that we've been hearing as to why the Senate won't give him a vote. Senate Democrats do not want Eric Garcetti to come up for a vote and all of these negative stories about what went on in his office to come out and make them look like fools.
In fact, the Senate has actually been taking Garcetti's own advice.
Just be smart and stay apart.
Was it yesterday or the day before we played the sound from the mayor's homeless press conference?
That was on Monday.
And he said there's a bum that lives on a street that he talks to all the time, as opposed to, of course, helping him.
I'd love to meet the homeless person that's camped out in front of Getty House.
Well, Garcetti may have a lot more time to talk to him, because it doesn't look like he's going to India anytime soon.
I receive things on both ends.
Thanks to grabby hands Rick Jacobs, who can't keep his hands on off of anything that has a particular extremity.
Well, that's the shocking thing about this new report, John.
Oh, yeah?
Jacobs went both ways. He was harassing female staffers as well.
Wait a minute. Okay, sexual harassment is now a very broad term. If you tell someone that they're sloppy, or you go up to a coworker and go, "Can't you wear a dress?" That's considered to be sexual harassment. But to my ear, it just sounds like more of a general insult.
Well, stay tuned, because the first account that I have here will detail just how harassy Rick Jacobs got to a woman in 2016.
Wow, that's a curveball I wasn't expecting. First, let's hear CBS2's take on it.
According to a new report, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti knew for years about allegations of inappropriate behavior against his former deputy chief of staff, Rick Jacobs. Four people who worked for both Garcetti and Jacobs tell New York Magazine the mayor was aware of Jacobs' behavior in July 2020.
Do you think they tried to go to the LA Times first?
The LA Times has zero interest in covering anything about California besides calling Larry Elder a white supremacist.
I love that New York Magazine is the one breaking this story about L.A.'s mayor.
You know, L.A. Times, I talk about what a disgraceful paper you are, but I think it's a perfect time right now to reiterate that point. You didn't break the French Laundry. You didn't break L.A. County Supervisor Louie Anderson eating at her local neighborhood restaurant after she voted to shut them down. You didn't break any of the PG&E stuff, and you're not breaking this Rick Jacobs story because you're obsessed with covering everything that has nothing to do with anything and promoting your own political agenda. You people are bad at your job.
In July 2020, an LAPD officer who worked as part of Garcetti's security detail from 2014 to 2019 filed a lawsuit claiming Jacobs made sexually explicit comments and unwanted physical contact. In October 2020, journalist Yashar Ali claimed Jacobs had harassed him at multiple political functions over the course of 10 years. After those allegations, Jacobs announced he was stepping down from his nonprofit work and volunteer activities with the mayor. According to the Los Angeles Times,
nonprofit work.
Well, he operates the Mayor's Fund, which is a nonprofit and not a way to get access with the mayor at all.
You know what the motto is for that charitable organization?
What's that?
Giving till it hurts.
According to the Los Angeles Times, Garcetti denied witnessing or having any knowledge of Jacobs' behavior during sworn testimony. Katie Johnston for CBSN Los Angeles.
Oh, that didn't even make Channel 2. That was CBSN.
Wait, so they put that on the internet?
At least they did something about it.
Who's looking at CBSN on the internet?
The same people that listen to CBSN on an HD2 channel for Jack FM.
You know what that is? That's giving that news organization cover. They're going to say, oh, yeah, we covered it. Where did you put it? CBSN. Well, where do I find that?
Well, at least they did the bare minimum and pointed people in the right direction of a huge article in New York Magazine called The Mayor Knew. And they're not even doing a story on their mayor. It's on our mayor, Eric Garcetti, and what he knew about and his staff knew about Rick Jacobs going back for years and years and years. Starting with the first account in this piece goes back to April of 2016 when Mayor Garcetti was announcing his second run for mayor in the city of Los Angeles and also thinking about running for president. That speech was overseen by a woman. I'm believing a woman. It is California, but a woman named Naomi Seligman, who was Garcetti's director of communications. She had spent weeks with her staff drafting the mayor's re-election speech. Her team returned to her office in City Hall for a debriefing when her boss, Rick Jacobs, the political consultant, Garcetti's deputy chief of staff, burst into the room. Seligman,
never a good sign.
Seligman spoke with the poised, hyper-efficient cadence of a veteran comms strategist, but winced when she described what happens next. Again, this is a woman, a director of communications for Garcetti, talking about her boss, Rick Jacobs. Quote, "He crushes me against his body, pulling me in with all his strength." She says now, telling her story publicly for the first time, "I'm like a rag doll. He's pulling me into him and kisses me on the lips for some long, uncomfortable period of time. He kisses me on the lips. I'm trying to push back, but he has my arms pinned down against the sides of my body, so I have no leverage to push back."
She's saying he's a masher.
Jacobs eventually let go of Seligman and congratulated the staff on Garcetti's speech and walked out the door. "I'm surrounded by my entire team, and they've seen this act of dominance over me. I felt humiliated." Then Seligman went to find Garcetti's chief of staff, Anna Guerrero, the same Anna Guerrero who was in charge of that Facebook group that was making fat jokes about other people that worked at City Hall.
And just to point out, no relation to Vladimir.
"I walked into her office and looked at her and said, I can't believe what just happened. Rick just kissed me in front of my staff." And Guerrero just rolled her eyes like it was an annoyance.
Oh, that Rick, he's in a celebratory mood today.
She wouldn't talk about it. She didn't even want to say, "I'm sorry that happened to you." The only thing she said was that there's nothing we can do about him.
Apparently so. Now, when you read this, do you get the impression that he was coming on to her, or do you get the impression that he was just very happy and he thought that he could get away with anything? And he wanted to let everyone in the room know that he was very happy with her performance in the speech.
My take is that Rick Jacobs believes he's a very special being and that everybody wants to be touched and hugged and licked and kissed by him. Everyone wants them to feel his biceps. This is just, he is that magnetic of a person.
Wait a minute. I've seen pictures. Not even he can believe that.
Well, he's got to believe something. Earlier this year, in a lawsuit brought against the city over Jacobs' behavior, Garcetti testified under oath that he knew nothing about multiple allegations levied against the man he once called a dear friend, as well as one of his most trusted advisors. But now, four people who work closely with Garcetti and Jacobs are speaking on the record saying that the mayor was fully aware of Jacobs' behavior, which means not only did the mayor not tell the truth, he didn't tell the truth under oath in a deposition saying that he did not witness and had no idea that Rick Jacobs was so handsy.
Well, that's perjury. And you can't perjure yourself and then expect the U.S. Senate to vote for you, especially if it's on a matter of sexual harassment.
You know what they call that?
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I receive things on both ends.
Now, I just pulled up pictures of Rick Jacobs because it's been a while since I've seen what he looks like. He looks like a gay Chris Elliott.
Garcetti's office has denied these allegations over and over again, even as this story came out. As the mayor has said repeatedly and under oath, he absolutely did not witness and was not aware of any sexual harassment by Mr. Jacobs. And if he were, he would have put a stop to it. These claims were false the first time they were alleged more than a year ago, and they're just as false today. Then, after this story broke, Garcetti's team sent another statement that he was never aware of any sexual harassment. Rick Jacobs put out a statement in response to this story. Mr. Jacobs is a person of integrity and compassion. To his dismay, he is unable to comment as he would like to be because of a pending lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles.
You know, we blame all these fires on PG&E, but every time Eric Garcetti lies, his pants get lit on fire. So I think we can blame some of the fires on Eric Garcetti.
And this behavior didn't just start when Rick Jacobs was the deputy mayor and Eric Garcetti's point person for everything else. He's been doing this for years and years and years and years. Because Jacobs and Garcetti go all the way back to city council. Jacobs and Eric Garcetti's wife, Amy Wakeland, go way back. They both worked on the presidential campaign of Howard Dean. Back in 2004.
You see, this is what we have to bump back with when we're talking about Rick Jacobs' antics. Got to set the mood.
Apparently now because he's also into the ladies when it comes to sexual harassment.
I, honest to God, I never saw that one coming.
Neither did she. One of Rick Jacobs' earliest on-record sexual harassment allegations goes all the way back to 2008 when Rick Jacobs was working with other political consultants to overturn Prop 8. There was a Democratic strategist who worked with Jacobs named Amanda Crumley. She's going on record saying that Rick Jacobs's sexual harassment behavior was on full display for years and years and years. He would always kiss me hard on the lips. It wasn't sexual, of course, but it was a power move for sure. Numerous other men have come forward with similar allegations against
Jacobs. Okay, I know this is a detail, but it's something that jumped out at me. In the context of Rick Jacobs and sexual harassment, you notice all of them say he kissed me on the lips. Just to make sure that they clarify that it wasn't anywhere else.
Well, if you've listened to any Eric Garcetti press conferences, it sure sounds like people are getting kissed in a very different place. By the way, did you know that when Garcetti became mayor in 2013, Rick Jacobs gave himself a made-up position called executive vice mayor?
I'm not surprised. I'm actually way more surprised that he harassed a woman.
Rick Jacobs held a bunch of big parties for donors and political dignitaries and lobbyists and LGBTQ activists at his fancy Hollywood Hills home. And remember the first accuser we talked about, Miss Seligman, the one that got forcibly hugged and kissed on the lips
after she wrote the speech?
Jacobs also harassed her husband at the same time.
Wow, he's going for the whole family. They have any kids?
Another city employee says that Jacobs touched him inappropriately for years, and he felt like he just kind of had to go with it because he didn't want to disrespect the gay community.
Okay. See, this is what doesn't make any sense. When they say Jacobs kissed them forcibly, it's on the lips. When they say he touched them inappropriately, they let your mind wander.
One of these employees went to one of Rick Jacobs's parties, and whenever he saw Jacobs coming for him, there was a knot in his stomach. He would cry inside. That night, Jacobs groped his buttocks and hugged him so tight that he had to break free, something that happened multiple times, both at Jacobs' house and other events over the years, until he firmly told Jacobs to stay away. The inappropriate touching and grabbing happened all the time, and for a long time, I wasn't able to find my footing and tell him to stop. What's more, Garcetti saw what was happening, says this former employee. When he was doing those things, the mayor was in eyeshot, just two or three people away. You could not be at that party and not know what he was doing or how he was behaving. He allowed Rick to stay on the city payroll and work for him personally on campaigns when he knew of his behavior. There's no question the mayor knew of his behavior.
Now, from past accounts, that would be consistent with what we've heard. And in past accounts, they described the mayor as almost being amused by it.
According to testimony in those depositions, he giggled when Rick Jacobs said things that I cannot repeat on the radio. And by the way, at Jacobs' 60th birthday party, where he invited a whole bunch of people, including Eric Garcetti and his wife, Eric Garcetti did a little roast about Jacobs and apparently was telling people privately that Amy's going to be really upset about what I'm going to say, because he wanted to make a joke about Jacobs using Grindr, and was telling people privately at Jacobs' birthday party, can you believe that we've never been sued for what Rick is doing? And that's only half of what's in this piece. There is more and more allegations. Apparently, after all of this broke, Eric Garcetti, his dad Gil Garcetti, and a bunch of other people were texting Rick Jacobs to see how he was doing and how he was handling this.
Well, the joke was, can you believe we haven't been sued? Guess what, Mr. Mayor? Today's your lucky day.
Apparently, he was saying that to a whole bunch of people in 2018.
I have no inside knowledge on any of this, but I just want to recite the facts as we know them. Are you ready?
What do you got?
So the Rick Jacobs story was broken by the journalist Yashar Ali, who wrote for New York Magazine, correct?
That's right.
After he broke that story, there was a hit piece on Yashar Ali that came out in Los Angeles Magazine that essentially caused Yashar to go into hiding, correct?
Yeah, I haven't seen him on Twitter in about a year.
No. After that happened, Yashar Ali of New York Magazine, of course, went away, and we haven't heard anything from him in a while. And then today we get a hit piece on Rick Jacobs in which publication?
New York Magazine.
I'm not connecting the dots at all. I'm just putting it out there for you. We have two more hours coming up on the John Phillips Show. The Fix California Hour is next. The great Heather McDonald joins us. Don't go anywhere. 790 KABC.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.